private sessions. Pirkei Avos. All right. So here we're in the middle of Pirkei Avos, and we're in the Perek Aleph, Mishnah 14. We're in the middle of the Mishnah, but we'll give a little recap for those video viewers that are joining us now. Hu haya oimer, the Mishnah says. Hu haya oimer. Others that are coming. Hu haya oimer. Imei anili, who is who, he used to say. He's talking about Hillel. Hillel was the one that was quoted in the last bunch of Mishnahs. So he used to say, Imei anili, mili. If I am not for myself, famous Mishnah, who will be for me? Al-Khashanila asked me, and if I am only for myself, literally, if I am for myself, Mani, then what am I? Im le'achshav, emasai. If not now, when? Pretty famous Mishnah. So we spoke last week. We said a lot of the simple pshatim about how basically it means that you have to make sure that you serve Hashem because no one else is going to serve Hashem for you. You have to do your own avodah, your own mitzvahs and everything. Don't just think you're going to get out of it somehow other than in other ways. And we spoke out the beautiful toldos. The toldos Yaakov Yosef says about how the whole point of the world is to get. It's like a wedding. Gemara speaks about the world being like a wedding, and the point of the wedding is Harat Mekudeshes Li. That's the whole apex, the climax of the wedding. So too, when a person recognizes that the point of Yiddishkeit is not just to do the mitzvahs and do the stuff, he comes to a deeper level of understanding that it's all to have an intimate relationship with Hashem, then he's at the Li. So that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. In Einani Li, Mili. If I don't have that Li, meaning connecting to Hariat Mekudeshes Li, meaning a deep, intimate relationship with Hashem, then Mili. What's the point of the whole stuff that we're doing if I don't have that vibrant, real relationship, right? Everything's always a muscle to, you know, a marriage. And, you know, if you're with your wife or whoever it is you're in a relationship with, you know, guys in the dorms is usually just that, you know, you pat my back, you know, don't rub me in the wrong way, that's it. But if you're in a relationship with a family, with your parents or something, everyone wants to have more than just staying out of the way and doing things for each other. You want to have a deep relationship. And we were speaking last week about how me could also refer to the tzaddik. We spoke about me as gematria 50, the 50 levels of bina. Me is the tzaddik because the malachim ask, who is this person? Me who's there, who's this person that flies around in the shemayim? All these different things speak about the tzaddik, how if I am not for myself, then mili, I should go to the tzaddik. But we spoke also out that doesn't mean to say that, you know, therefore I get the easy street, I just go to the tzaddik and he'll take care of everything and give me a bracha and get endik. Rather, I have to work very hard. That's what the Kajan Tzermagi says, even on these words. He says, if I just go to the tzaddik and give him $100 and say, here, give me a bracha that, you know, the X, Y, and Z should be better, then it's going to be mili. What's it worth? It's worth nothing almost. The person has to invest all his effort. Like we spoke out from the Gra's words about in the olden days when there were prophets, the person would yearn and yearn and yearn to come close to the prophet. Then he would come to the prophet and he would get the advice in life where what to do. So too, when you approach a tzaddik, so if you approach him with yearning and davening and everything, then once you get to the tzaddik, then he'll be able to illuminate your eyes in a much higher level from that yearning that you had before. So then, the next level of the Mishnah that we were speaking about was brought down from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov speaks about these words that it could mean that these words are referring to tefillah. That in the Ramah, he brings down even in Halacha that when you daven, you have to have his pashtus agashmi. You have to divest yourself of all physicality. You have to be totally absorbed with Hashem. So he says, Baal Shem Tov says that they see that in these words in the Mishnah. Ein ani li, if I'm not for myself, meaning that my body and my personal desires are not present, they're totally not there, then mili, and no foreign thoughts can come into my tefillah. Because when I'm davening, I'm not here. I'm just closed off, right? We close our eyes and we whisper. And we whisper for Shemoneh Esrei. And basically we're closed off from the world. You know, you might say that it's a bit not true, but it is true, because in the end of the day, really Hashem exists, and only Hashem exists. So we close ourselves off in the regular day of the world. We have to exist, we have to go and do and live in the world, quote-unquote, physicality and people and everything. But then for a little bit, every day, three times a day, we close our eyes, and we just exist in the real world, which is just Hashem. If I'm in such a place, then, mili, no distracting thoughts can come and mess up my focus. But if Shani asks me, if I'm here, I'm thinking, oh, what's going to be with supper? What's going to be with this? What's going to be with this? And all of a sudden, the time that all those thoughts come shooting in is Shemoneh Esrei, right? It's like almost a segula, right? If you want to remember what you have to take care of, daven Shemoneh Esrei. You know? So I speak to Hashem, you'll be like, ah, right, I have to get orange juice, and ah, I forgot to get this, you know, like, mash. Badek and Menusa, everyone knows that you want to remember to take care of something, you'll just start to daven, and maybe even learning work. Sometimes not. And you remember jokes when you start playing. But the point is that's what the Baal Shem Tov says. So this is where we were holding last week. So now to pick up in the Mishnah, the Rav Tuv, he says that the Mishnah is talking about tefillah, but in a little different way. He quotes an incredibly interesting Gemara. That's a quote also from the same Hillel HaZaken, famous Hillel, that he was at the Simchas Beis HaShe'evan in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara in Sukkah 53a says that Hillel said at the Simchas Beis HaShe'evan these words. He said, "Im ani kan, hakol kan. Im eini kan, mi kan. If I'm here, then everyone's here. If I'm not here, then no one's here." Alright? Sounds like Rabbi Shemaya words, you know, very, very hoich words, you know, so Makubal is telling you like these high words. No idea what it means. So the Rav Tuv explains. And he explains this, obviously there's probably a lot of meanings of what this means, but he explains like this. He says, "In ani kan hakol kan." He says, if when I, what's my deepest desire? My deepest desire is to be a big guy, is to be a somebody, right? So then I want that whenever I'm in front of people, that people see, oh, somebody, I'm a hush of a guy, right? Put on my makeup for the cameras, you know, whatever it is, I'm a hush of a guy. So then, well, basically everything I do is just an act. For this guy, for that guy, what's that guy going to say? What's this guy going to say? And if that's the case, so then there's nothing real inside of me, right? However, if I realize that I'm absolutely nothing, and everything is mamash just from Hashem, so then I can be in front of thousands and thousands of people, and no one exists. So only Hashem exists. That's what he says. And he says, this is what Hillel meant when he said this enigmatic statement at the Simchas Beis. Probably Hillel was on the bima, right? He was on the dais there, probably in the middle of the dais, on the highest thing. And everyone was dancing and singing, and you know, everyone's looking at him. So he said, "Im ani kan, hakol kan." He says, if I'm here, meaning my big guy, if I'm trying to be a big guy, then everyone's here. That means I'm in front of thousands of people, and I'm just a big actor in front of a thousand people, right? But, "Im ani kan," if I'm not here, then mikan, and who's here, right? Then I'm totally connected. And so the Rav Tuv takes that same explanation that he's giving in that Gemara and Sukkah and plugs it in to the words of our Mishnah. And he reads it with a little Hasidic twist. He says that our Mishnah says, "Im ein ani li mili." So don't read it in "ein ani li mili," but "im ayin ani li mili." So he says, right? Always in Hasidus, you can change around the Nakuza, it's not a big deal. So he says, "Im ayin ani li mili." If I am nothing, ayin is nothing. If I am nothing, ayin ani, then mili, then no one's here with me, right? Then I could be in front of a thousand people, and there's no one here. No one exists. However, Shanila asks me, if I'm for myself, meaning I'm trying to be some big somebody, then mani, then what are my tefillahs going to look like? Basically, you know, the guy's sitting in Shunasa, and he's just chuckling and chuckling and chuckling, and you know, the famous story from Nachman, right? He says that there was a Ephesar Rebbele, and he was davening, and every day he would daven there, his little, you know, his little study, Chas V'Shalom, to be in front of the people. They shouldn't see such fiery devotion. And he would chuckle and everything, but then he'd hear the scratching of the chassidim at the door. Well, trying to listen, trying to hear, trying to get a peek. And so he'd walk himself into a deeper frenzy, and smack against the walls and make sounds and scream and everything. Mamash, incredible davening. And for 9 years he was, wow, what incredible davening. And after 9 years he opened the door, a little cat. I was scratching on the door for all those 9 years. So he was davening to a cat for 9 years. You know, like, that was firing up his davening. All right, listen. The point is that if you're davening for people, then you're davening for people. You're an actor. It's very nice. You know, go to Hollywood, some of them. But if you want to daven to Hashem, then you have to be an Einanili. There can't be anyone around. You have to close your eyes and think back to what's going on. You know, if you're having a hard day, it's probably pretty easy to think this, you know. If you're having a good day, it's a little harder. But wherever you are, you got to negate yourself. So the Baal Shem Tov is speaking about, you have to negate your desires. You negate all of your things that you want to do. Rav Tuva is saying, you got to get rid of all of these seeds of haughtiness, grandiose. And so both of these things are very integral to having a good Shemoneh Esrei, a good tefillah, good Hizbodedus, wherever you're trying to daven. People think that, you know, in Hizbodedus, it's easier because no one's around, right? But even there, like that rabbi, he was also alone. Even in Hizbodedus, the guy could be sitting in the forest in the depths of the night, he's thinking, wow, I bet you there's some other wrestler looking at me now, you know. Some guy, he really wants to see, what is he really doing in Hizbodedus? He's watching. It doesn't matter where you are. It's a little guy running around in your head. He'll have his peace. So a person sitting here, he wants to daven. So he thinks, I got to have humility. I got to get rid of all my thoughts. So he thinks all this stuff is very high. How am I going to get to any of these things? I'm having a hard enough time showing up to tefillah. So the Michtav Eliyahu says that's exactly what our Mishnah is also, ironically speaking, teaching us. He says that the deepest essence of a yid, he says the deepest essence of a yid is his godliness, is that he desires nothing other than to connect to Hashem. Okay, he desires nothing other than to connect to Hashem, and Yetzer Hara, though, he says, tries to steal our very essence. Right? He says, you know, if you ask a guy, you know, what do you want? A lot of times people say, you know, when someone asks you, what are you, what do you do? So whatever you answer, that's what you really want, you know. I'm an accountant, you know. Oh, so you're an accountant, you know. The guy says, you know, where are you? So you guys, you know, someone asked me recently, where are you? So I think I said I lived in Ramah Eshkol. And afterwards I thought about it. It's like, maybe he was asking me, like, what I teach, what I learn in, you know, like, where are you in life? Right, the famous story of Shach Shmeitzer, right? Famous story of Chaim Shmulevitz or someone. They were on the ship from Shanghai to Eretz Yisrael, and they were in the middle of the ocean for like a month, and the guys were going crazy. They didn't see land for a month. They were like sitting there, and Chaim was like sitting there learning in a sefer, and they were like looking over the deck, and they were like, Rebbe, where are we? And he goes, Shab Shmeitz Gimel. famous Litzvah Shemaitzah. That's where you are.
What did he say?
He said, he was in a sefer. He said, we're in Sif Gimel. That's where we are. You know? That's where you are. But it's very true, you know. Like, the person asks you that, where are you? That's really where you are. So the Mishnah Melel says, you ask the guy, where are you? Who are you? What are you? What are you doing? So he'll tell you, I like ice cream, I like cars, I like this, I like money, I, you know. But really, it's sheker. Yetzer Hara convinces you that you like this, you like that. But really, in the essence, the Yid doesn't like any of that stuff. Maybe he needs it, but he doesn't like that. That's not what he wants in life. He wants Hashem, and only Hashem. He says that, he sees that in these words, in the words of this Mishnah itself. He says, "Im ein ani li," I am not for myself. Why? Because me, myself, my real rutzer, my real desire has been stolen by Yetzer Hara. He says, no. He takes my desire for Hashem and says, no, you want this and this and this. He steals it from me. Then, mili. And what does it bring me? All the desires that the Yetzer Hara is feeding me, this is what you really want, this is what you really want. They lead to nothingness. They lead to emptiness. So, and rather, he says, a person really should connect, he can connect to the true me. Right? And the next line of the Mishnah, according to the amazing teaching from Rav Nachman, gives us tremendous advice on how to do that. It says, the next line of the Mishnah, "In loy achshav emasai," famous line, if not now, when, right? In general, it's a good thing, you know, just the simple shot is get up, do things, you know, don't wait, don't push things off till tomorrow. But Rav Nachman says a very famous story from Rav Nachman of, I think it's Ayin Reish Beis, of Hayoyim, right? There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Hayoyim Mekodesh Vishmo, that today if you listen to my voice, So Nachman says that the Yetzer Hara always tries to overwhelm us. He tries to tell us that there's a lot of things to do, right? You want to become a Yid, you want to become a good Jew, you want to learn Torah, you want to do this, fine. So you know how much Torah you have to learn? Go downstairs and look at the Sfarim Shrine. That's how much Torah you have to learn. Wow. Shas, look how big Shas is. Wow. You want to learn Chumash? Look how big the Parsha is this week. It's crazy. It's big. That's how he tells you. And you say, wow, Can't do that. Okay, give up. So, again, the end of the story. Nigmara Sipur, right? But Reb Nachman tells us what you have to tell back to him is Hayoim. That what is there in the world? Only today. Right? Only today? Only this hour? Only this minute? Only this second? That's the only thing that exists right now. Now, can I learn the next fifth in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for 10 seconds? Yeah, I could probably do that. Then do it. Hayoim. Don't say, but I'm never going to finish Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I'm never going to finish this. That's true. Maybe you won't. Because the Yetzer Hara throws upon you such burdens of what you have to do in your whole life that you can't lift it. And you know what? It's true. You couldn't possibly lift such a burden. But if you take Hayoim, if you take each moment and it in and of itself, then you could do it. There's a Gemara, I think it's a Chazal somewhere, that says that in the end of the days, Hashem is going to take the Yetzer Hara, Shach the Yetzer Hara, finish with the Yetzer Hara. And the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim are all going to be crying when they see the Yetzer Hara in the end. And why? Because the tzaddikim, they're going to see it as this huge mountain, and they're going to cry, wow, how did I overcome this huge mountain? And the Rishonim are going to see it as this little chut, thinner than a, you know, a little thread. Chut shel chesed. Well, this is the opposite. A little chut of the Yetzer Hara. A little right to bendel, maybe. So, and they're going to see that, and they're going to say, why couldn't I just, like, I could take my pinky and cut through that. Why couldn't they do that? So what's pshat? So the pshat is based on the famous line in the world that they say the grass is always greener on the other side. So my friend Yaakov once taught, why is it that the grass is always greener on the other side? Okay, we understand, you know, it's like a nice American saying, you know, you see the other guy's house, it looks nicer, little did you know his heating system just broke and he's freezing, you know, and you think, you know, oy vey, but you have good heating, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. But he said, no, there's actually a physical reason why the grass is always greener on the other side. Why? Because what does it mean? It means that you're on a mountain, and you look down, and you look across to the other mountain, and you see that the other mountain is really green. When you look down, the grass is not so green. Why? Because you see the dirt in between each blade of grass. When you look down, you see, oh, there's a bunch of dirt in between the grass. When you look across, so you just see all the grass like coming together, so it looks so green, right? So you're looking at it from that angle. The same thing with the Yetzer Hara and with the end of the days, right? That Yetzer Hara in this world, he tells us that we can't overcome all these things. So what did the tzaddikim do? How did he fight such a claim from the Yetzer Hara? They say, it's not true. Because right now is the only second that exists. And right now is the only second that I can and should be doing anything. Coming close to the Shem. So they say, this second, can I learn? Yes. This second, 10 seconds, can I not look at this thing? Yes. This second, 20 seconds, can I stay a brachot kavana? Yes. Am I going to do it for the rest of my life? No. But this second, can I do it? Yes. And they keep hacking away, one thread and another thread, another thread, another thread. Keep hacking at the grass. And at the end of the day, they come up and they say, whoa, how did I overcome such a mountain? Because it all added up. It's a huge mountain, right? It looks green. It's amazing, because it is. It looks amazing, because it was all those little blades of grass that they came through. The Rishonim, on the other hand, when they were in this world, every time the Yetzer Hara came to them, they said, how am I going to overcome this Yetzer Hara? Forever? I can't. Gave up. When they come up, they realize that wasn't the truth. Yetzer Hara was making it seem that I'm never going to be able to overcome every Yetzer Hara in the world. So I gave up. But it really was just a little thread, just a little plate of grass. They would have taken it in that sense. They would have been able to overcome that thing. Rav Nosson says somewhere in the Kutei Halachas, the Amar Makam is somewhere, that he says, people think that the reason why people are far away from Hashem is because we don't have enough fire to serve Hashem. We don't have enough passion. We don't really desire Hashem enough. He says the opposite is true, because we have too much passion. Maybe that's you, Rav Nosson, but not me. I really have any fire. I don't really want to do anything. I'd rather sit around, you know, watch movies. I don't want to really serve Hashem, so I don't know what you're talking about, Rav Nosson. He says, no. Even the guy, Imamish, in the clubs in Tel Aviv, he has too much passion to serve Hashem. That's why he's not serving Hashem. And he explains why. He says, that you go over to this guy in Tel Aviv, wherever he is, and you tell him, listen, you know, I don't want to say how or what, but if you give $1 to tzedakah in the next 20 minutes, you're going to become the Chafetz Chaim. Right? He's heard of the Chafetz Chaim. Such knowledge, such greatness, everything. All you have to do is give $1 to any tzedakah. It could be a false tzedakah. It doesn't matter. Just give $1, you're going to become the Chafetz Chaim. How many Jews would not give that $1? He says, every single Jew would give the $1 because they become the Chafetz Chaim. Boom. And then he says, and how many Jews would really give the $1? None. Why? Because every Jew also knows
that you don't become a Chavetz Chaim from giving a dollar. No Jews are that stupid, right? Why? Because it takes years of working on yourself and breaking sleep and breaking your tithes and learning again and again and again to become something great. So he says, because they know that they really want to become so great, and if they would be given a chance to do that, they would take it in a second. But they know that it takes hard work, day in, day out, so they didn't even begin. Because they want that. They want to be a great person. Therefore, they don't even begin. Really, the answer is what Rav Nachman is saying, which fits in with the words of the Mishnah. If not now, when? Right? That that we should look at every day and every moment as if it's the only thing that exists. Nothing else exists. And then we'll be able to say, I'm not the Chavetz Chaim now. I might not be the Chavetz Chaim even in 60 years. But maybe in 80, 90 years, I'll be, you know, like they say from Reb Zushta, you know, they're not going to ask you why you weren't Avram or Yitzchak and Yaakov. They're going to ask you Zushta, why weren't you Zushta? You'll become the maximized potential of who you could become. You'll become the greatest Ovadia that you could become. Maybe not Ovadia Yosef, but you'll be Ovadia your own. Alright? And so, that's the Eitzah that Rav Nachman gives. Name like Achshav Emesai, that you should always try to grab onto the day, to the moment right now. And that's the big Eitzah of how to overcome all these things and to slowly grow in the places where we can go. The last Pshat in this Mishnah comes from the Rosh Hashiva from Eishet Torah, of Noach Weinberg. He has an incredible Pshat that's life-changing if you take it upon yourself to actually use it. And it's not just life-changing in a spiritual sense, but even in a physical sense of everyday life. He says, Yimim Layachshav Emesai. A lot of times, we find ourselves in the day saying, yeah, I've got to take care of that. I really got to take care of that. And then what happens? Nothing. He says, Yimim Layachshav, if you got to take care of something, and you're not doing it now, Emesai, say when you're going to take care of it. I got to take care of that. When? Well, not now. So when? I'm not sure. When? Ah, okay. You're gonna take out the garbage in 10 minutes after I'm finished doing this. Okay. You're gonna learn that thing when? Well, you know, I have a wedding. So when are you gonna learn it? I don't know. I'm gonna really have to learn that. So when are you gonna do it? Okay. Fine. So middle of the wedding, I'm gonna take out 20 minutes and do it. If you say that simple word, and like Achshav Emesai, and you answer the Emesai, changes your life incredibly, both in the ways of learning and doing all of these things. Shik just passed away. Eliezer Shlomo Shik, we quote him. He just left a audio tava on the internet for everyone who wants to hear it. It's like 2 minutes, very, very sweet, very beautiful. And he's just saying how, you know, the main thing is that Baruch Hashem, you're not a goy and you're a yid, and you should be misameach with that. And then he says, and every day just learn Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Medrash, and just chaperein. Just that's where we're here. I'm upstairs already. I'm telling you from upstairs, just chaperein, just learn a little bit. Nachman was very into having sets of darim, whatever, however small it is. You have a set seder that you hop around, and if you know you can't do it, he says you should definitely try to find a time to do it that day. It's very, very chashav azach. And that's what Rav Noach is saying basically over here, is that it solidifies our you know, ambiguous things that we're going to take care of in some level, some sense, and it makes the things that we actually end up doing. Rez Hashem with that and with everything. Shvizeche to Shav Hashem v'simcha. Shem v'zakeinu v'shakoyach.
They also ask Yonah on the phone, what do you do? Who's this doing? They ask Yonah.
They ask him, who are you? What are you?
What do you do, I think?
And what did he say?
I'm a Jew.
He was a Jew.